Thank you for being part of our red, white, and blue service here at the Branch on this Sunday, just before this holiday set to remember, the establishment of our nation, the founding of our freedoms. What we experience today has roots all the way back to those days, in those early days of the founding of our country. It's just a wonderful thing to be part of the celebrations, and I hope you're planning for that in your day tomorrow. We're continuing in this series. We've called, are we able to put that up there? We've called Let's Walk Across the Room, and this is a three-part series. This is part two of these three parts. This idea of the series is that we're pointing people in simple and small ways, simple and small steps, pointing people to the single greatest gift of their lives. That would be Jesus Christ. That would be an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their lives. And he has given them Jesus. Jesus is this single greatest gift, the very, what we call gospel, or news about Jesus Christ, that there in history, Jesus died for the sins of all people. Potentially every single soul's sins can be removed because of what Jesus did on the cross over 2,000 years ago, that he was buried and that he rose again from the grave to establish new life again from the grave. We sang a wonderful song earlier. Wasn't those songs great in our worship this morning? If you believe that, just let those worship leaders know about that and thank them with your applause. What we sang about this, our bodies are going to be raised up. You know what, that last trumpet, it's going to be, woo! Yeah, our bodies will, because we'll follow like Jesus' body was raised from the dead. His body, his soul, which is body and spirit, were raised alive from the dead. Ours will be too. This is that single greatest gift, this eternal life, changed destiny. You see, not only do we get this single greatest gift of Jesus, which means an eternal life, but we have this spirit-led adventure that God calls us to take that gift before other people. To take and give that gift to other people, to point people to this gift. And there's just some very simple and small steps that anybody can do to do that. Don't think that you have to be some spiritually kind of gifted evangelist in order to change the eternal destinies, to be part of that incredible change of an eternal destiny. People's lives could be changed forever, and their legacy through many generations, because of some things that you would do with some just simple and small steps. Like walking across a room and introducing yourself to somebody that you've never met before, a total stranger. Could we do that? Everybody say yes. Well, sure we can do that. We can walk across a room. There's no greater treasure on earth that we can be part of, outside of our own salvation, outside of knowing that if we died later today, that we'd go to heaven. There's no greater treasure that we could have in our lives to hold on to love and cherish, than the idea of being able to have another person experience that single greatest gift. Obviously, we want that for everybody that's close to us. If we have the gift, we want it for everybody that's close to us. We want it for our kids if we have kids. We want it for our spouse if we have a spouse. We want it for people that are our good and dear and close friends. We want this gift for them. There's no greater treasure on earth than to experience somebody else receiving that single greatest gift. Right? Think about it for a minute. That's powerful. And what I want to tell you today is that what we're learning last week, today, and next week is some very simple and small steps that anybody can do to be part of that kind of spirit-led adventure. You want to be part of that in a bigger way than you are now? I know many of you are doing that kind of thing in your lives. Awesome. This might be a little bit of a review, or you might pick up on something that could, say, add into that adventure experience. That's the highest calling of any of us on earth, is to bring somebody else into that union with God through Jesus Christ. Last week, if you were here, I know some of you weren't, any of you last week, between last Sunday and today, have kind of a nudging from God's Holy Spirit, a little prompting as you saw somebody else in your life that you didn't know, a stranger? Anybody else have that kind of experience? You don't have to raise your hands or anything. It happened to you? Well, it happened a couple times to me. Just one of them was when I was taking a corner, I was going into some apartments, and I saw this gentleman out sitting on a utility box on a corner smoking a cigarette. And I thought about that guy, and I thought, I wonder what's his story. What's going on in his life? I wonder if he's connected to God or not. There was that nudging. And I say that because it was between last Sunday and this Sunday, and I've been thinking more about being sensitive to those around me that I don't know. Obviously, we want to be sensitive to those we do know, but to be sensitive to those we have no clue about, they're kind of just a distant stranger to us. I am so glad, friends, that when I walked into that Elmer's Pancake House in the early 1980s to join a Toastmasters club, or really to check it out. I'm not sure whether I joined it. Depends on if the people wanted me to. I suppose that we're part of that club already. I walked in and I sat down like this guy with, I don't think there was anybody around me, because you don't want to sit down by somebody who's expecting somebody else to sit by him, and they're already part of this, and I'm a total stranger, and they're all strangers to me. I sat down and wonder what's going to happen to me, right? And somebody had the sensitivity enough to know that I was a stranger to them at this point to come over and do something very small and very simple and just sit down by me and engage me. Has that ever happened to you? Seemingly small and simple, but huge. You probably made a friend by somebody doing that to you. I made a bunch of friends. From that point, there was some next steps that we'll talk about today, some next steps that brought me into this fuller understanding of who God was really and what he'd done through Jesus Christ, and this idea of understanding that I have a God that had created me that absolutely loves me. No matter what I've done, I am important to him, so important that he would send Jesus to be a sacrifice or an offering for my sins to secure my salvation if I chose to receive that incredible gift. And that he had, not just after that, that's not the end of the story, but he had a purpose for me. And I learned about that purpose, and I did. I went to Bible college and spent the past 25 years doing this. That's the transformation that happened to me. That's just what this incredible, single, greatest gift has done for me. And some of you are nodding and saying, yeah, that's something that's happened to me too. I've had experience where my life has been totally changed because I received that single greatest gift. And because somebody came to me, somebody walked across a room, somebody made some simple and small steps that any one of us can do, and reached out their hand and said, hi, I'm so-and-so, what's your name? And it starts there. We talked about this diagram last week that'll be on the screen. Scroll to the next diagram that comes up. And if you can see there's this circle of comfort that, well, let's just face it, we all live inside of a kind of a space bubble in the sense of we're comfortable if, and there's this X person. That's the person up on the right with the X. There is this person, this stranger. I was that person sitting in that Elmer's Pancake House restaurant in Hazeldale, wherein somebody approached me, likely out of their comfort, circle of comfort, to talk to me, to come to sit by me. And that's what happens. If this kind of thing doesn't happen over and over and over again in life, where people that are following Jesus Christ, like many of you, then people that are the X, like I was, and like all of us were probably at some point, won't receive the single greatest gift that they could receive on the planet. If this stuff doesn't happen, it's lights out, like I said last week, for the kingdom of God on earth. This stuff has to happen. Well, and if you think about it, let's go back to who started it all. Who started it all? It was God. God who sent Jesus out of the circle of comfort of heaven and the glory that Jesus had to come to the earth. Jesus walked across, we talked about the cosmos. He walked across the cosmos to come to the planet, become a human being, become man, and die a human death to be able to be a human sacrificial offering to substitute for the human sin of all humanity. Being God in the flesh, Jesus, the incarnate, born of a virgin, but born to Mary, who was human, he was the only one that could do that. Having lived a perfect life without ever offending or sinning against God, he could do that. This is what God did. And then Jesus came to earth, and Jesus does some amazing things on earth as a model for us. We'll look at that a little bit more today, but this model he gave was being at table fellowship with people who had really bad reputations among the church of the day. They were people far from God. They were people that were, they were way out there. And yet, they were willing to hear Jesus. Jesus would get close to them. He'd get out of any comfort zones that rabbis were supposed to be in and move to people who needed him most. And there was one time when he did that. He was at a well in a town in Samaria. The well is called Jacob's Well. Some of you may recognize that. And near the town of Sychar, and him and the guys had traveled through Samaria, something that most Jews wouldn't do. They would travel normally around Samaria. They didn't want to cut through this particular country, which was a shortcut between Jerusalem or Judea and the upper Palestine area of the time, Galilee. And he chose to cut through this area and mix among people that they normally wouldn't. They just steered clear of them. They were almost like enemies. They just felt these people were bad people. And Jesus walks around a well, apparently, in some manner. He talks to this woman. After the guys had gone in to get lunch at the nearby town, Jesus stated, he talks to this woman, and he simply does this, a simple and small thing. Remember what it was? He requested from her some water to drink. He was thirsty, he was hungry, he was weary, he was tired, the Bible states. He just requested that. Very simple and small thing. It was a walk across a room. In fact, it was more than that. It was a walk across, oh my, gender barriers. Because normally men wouldn't talk to women. It was a walk across some cultural barriers and racial barriers. Because normally Jews wouldn't talk to a Samaritan. In fact, she even said after he asked requested the water, says, why are you, being a Jew, talking to me, being a Samaritan woman? Because that's just not protocol. This is not politically correct. What is going on here? But Jesus walked out of the circle of comfort out to this woman in order to do what? Well, they started talking about regular water that quenches thirst, and they got into a conversation out of that that brought up the single greatest gift, living water, water which would sustain her life now and forever. Wow. That's what Jesus did. Brought her to the single greatest gift out of some simple and small, requests for water. Friends, I want to talk to you about some next steps. But before we take those steps, I want us to stop at a viewpoint. You ever stopped at the viewpoints along the road as you drive along? And probably if you're out taking some trips this summer, there's some viewpoints, and they're amazing to stop at. And, you know, I don't normally stop at them because we're headed somewhere super fast, but on occasion when we do, it's really kind of neat to see some vistas that we normally wouldn't be able to see from the road as well. You get better idea of what's out there. And it can just increase your world and your experience of the world. I want us to pause, I want us to stop, and I want us to consider what Jesus is seeing in life. What Jesus sees in life is, friends, the priority of people. Can I say that again? What Jesus sees in life is the priority of people. Forgive me. What Jesus sees in life is a priority of people. I have getting it wrapped all around me. We got it. I just, when I kind of thought about this idea that Jesus is looking at people all the time. He's prioritized people. And I kind of look at my life and I go, what am I thinking about a lot? What am I doing? What do I talk about? I start to analyze my life, you know, and do I put priority on people? Ask yourself that. Because Jesus puts priority on people. He sees that. If we pull off in our journey in life and we kind of stop and, you know, become part of this band of Jesus followers, Jesus is going to point something out to them. He's going to point something out to them. Look what he points out to them in this passage in John chapter 4. This is where the woman had come back, but she had been leading out a group of people that had come out to see Jesus. She left Jesus after she learned that he could be the very Messiah. He had told her about some things about her reputation that were very true that she didn't tell him. And so she went into the town and said to all of the other Samaritan people living in the town, says, look, could this guy be the Messiah? And they were coming out to Jesus. Now, at that same time, the guys had got back from lunch and maybe tried to bring Jesus some lunch and tried to offer Jesus some food. And he said, hey, my food is to do the will of the Father. He says, well, where did he get? He must have already ate. What's going on? No. Here. And he says this. As they were coming out of the town and made their way toward him, he could see them. And then he says these words, I tell you, open your eyes. Jesus is telling us at this viewpoint. He's trying to tell us, his disciples, be part of that group right now. And I'm Jesus, and I'm pointing to this group coming out. He says, open your eyes and look. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, let me ask you, was Jesus wanting them to look at the grain that was ripe for harvest? No, not at all. What was he indicating to them? Look at the people that are ripe for harvest. The guys had the priority on their tummies, and I do 3 times a day normally as well. It's just part of life. We do get to thinking about a lot of other things in life. And friends, we have a lot of opportunities in this great land that we live in, tremendous opportunities. Question for us is, Jesus would say, I tell you, look. Focus your eyes. Get this viewpoint of God, the priority of people. Second thing Jesus wanted them to focus on is the potential of people. I really believe that because the people he were pointing out were not Jews. They were half-breed Jews. They weren't people that these guys wanted to even talk with. In fact, we shouldn't even be in this part of the country, Jesus. Because these were people that we hold off at arm's length. We don't fellowship. We don't get around. We don't talk to them. And you're breaking protocol by talking to this woman is what they would probably tell Jesus as their rabbi. What are you doing? Jesus says everybody has potential. Think about a person in your life now that is in a very, very poor condition in their life. They're in trouble. They're suffering. They're down. They're struggling. Just day-to-day struggle. Think about a person that's just wildly out there and committing all kinds of offense. They're a person, so they're a priority. Jesus would tell us. And because they're a person, they have potential. Every single person you lock eyes with or not, that's out there, some stranger to you right now, that's out there out of our circle of comfort, that we maybe are nudged by God's Holy Spirit to go over and introduce ourselves, they're so important to God. And Jesus sees them with eyes of potential. He sees this woman who had a sordid past, been through five husbands, and she was living with a guy at the time. She is precious to Jesus Christ. And Jesus invests time in that relationship. And as a result of that, there's all these other relationships that are coming out to get to know Jesus. In fact, Jesus hung out there for a couple days as he taught these people who were wide-eyed about the reality that the very Messiah from God, the one who God would send to save the world, to be the king of the earth, whoa, that he was sitting right here teaching us. Wow. Okay, friends. That's what Jesus wants us to think about. That Jesus wants us to have the priority of people and our focus on the potential with every single soul we talk about. And we can't do this kind of thing of equipping ourselves to invest in the lives of people in life-giving ways if we don't have this priority of God in our hearts, that every single person is important. Important enough to focus on their potential. No matter where or how low they are in their lives, it's so important. Well, I want to talk about some next steps here. As we do, consider that we have a tendency to want to cocoon in our lives. It's just natural, I think, that we want to build a circle of comfort around us and be safe and be in this place of cocooning. And I downloaded an article that I found last week that kind of connected with this whole series we're on, and it's entitled, Five Reasons We Struggle to Be a Friend of Sinners. Five reasons we struggle. Just a couple of them. The first one it says is that we've forgotten how much God loves the world. Think about that. That was one that hit me. It was the very first one, but it was the most important one that hit me. Is it forgotten how much God loves the world? The world is the people of the world. You know, he loves the people no matter where they are, whether they're in Baghdad and suffering because one of their family members just got blown up, or they're here in Camas, East Vancouver, celebrating the 4th of July tomorrow. God loves the world so much, he sent his one and only son to die in their behalf. He wanted to save Nineveh, wicked Nineveh, and he sent Jonah. And Jonah couldn't understand how God could love those Ninevites. He wanted them all to burn. That's the story of Jonah, by the way. But that just also illustrates how important those people were to God. The second one here is one that I can relate to. Maybe you can too. Our schedules are too full. It's hard to be friends with lots of people if our schedules are so full with the things of life that we don't have the time to invest in relationships or to go up. And I don't know that I can add another person into the realm of the love that I have to give by going across a room, walking over there in a simple and small step and introducing myself and maybe engaging in someone new in my life. Our schedules are full. Is there an amen on that one? Yeah. We don't, you know, Lori and I have been working on some goal setting stuff, and one of the things we realize is we don't have enough margin. Okay? Just admitting that. We need to plan space, margin, time. For who? People. Okay, now I'm a pastor, right? I'm in the business, the people business, but I'll still say this, that we don't have enough margin for more people that we could minister to and serve well. So we work on. And it might be something you want to consider as well here. Well, these guys that came and sat by me in that restaurant back in the early 1980s, what they did with those simple small steps of walking, they mattered to me. But the next steps mattered as well. And we're just going to take a little time and talk about some next steps. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this in this series because I think all of us realize some of the things we can do. I'm just going to give you three that matter to me. And that may be ones that you're using already or the ones that you can use. Just very practically speaking, three simple next steps after you get met by somebody, right? After you meet somebody, you walked across a room, you introduced yourself. The first step that happened to me is that those folks in that Toastmasters club, a couple, two or three of them especially, were trying to get to know me. You know what they did? They asked questions of me. And they were trying to get to know me. Where am I from, you know? And what line of work are you in? Okay, do you have any kids? What's your family situation? You know, they ask all these just questions to get to know people, like what we would do if we were to get acquainted with somebody. Simple as that. They asked and they listened. They wanted to discover my story. You know, too often I want to quickly get into a conversation with people where I meet somebody new, and I want to share. I don't want necessarily as much to hear from them as I want to share about me. You know what? They were interested in me. That's a step, an important and small step, that we just are interested in where people are, where they come from, what's going on in their lives, what are their interests or hobbies. And you know what can happen out of that? We might find some common interests that we can even take another step then. And so that's a really important one. It mattered a lot to me. I felt valued. I felt important. I felt like my life mattered some to them. That drew me closer to them. It's a next step as you meet somebody new. How can you get to know them better? They're an important person. Are they important enough to us to listen to them? They're important, very important to God who died for them. So that kind of a simple little thing. I'm just not saying anything new to anybody, right? This is very simple, very small, but impactful to people. Very impactful to people. Another step that happened to me that was so valuable is that they offered hospitality. Especially a couple of them, they invited me over as soon as I began, became an offer of invitation to be included in their church. They invited me to come. I did, and I started to come. It was almost every time I got among the community, that church community, that I was invited to a meal into somebody's house normally. I was invited out to eat. And at the time, I was a bachelor with meal preparation challenges. I just wasn't good at making food. And so this was really important to me, and it was really valuable. It really helped. Simple. Ever think about that? A step towards somebody that could help them in being pointed toward Jesus, pointed toward the single greatest gift, might be as simple as offering to treat somebody to a cup of coffee. The simplest little thing. Smallest little thing, huh? Or over to a meal. Something so minor that any one of us could do, and we continue to build the relationship. Wow. It could be as simple as that. It mattered to me, friends. That showed me a lot, and it was an invitation to further relationship. Last one that I'll just share with you this morning is to be able to a step, just a simple step. Among many others, if we had a board up here and we were to brainstorm, what kinds of simple and small steps could we use to help point people further to Jesus? We could come up with a whole list, but I'm just going to give you three that were impactful to me. One is that they were discovering my story. Second one is they offered me hospitality. And the third one is that they were able to provide me some resources that helped me to understand God better or helped me in my life in general. So one of the things that I was wanting to do, because I had never really picked up the Bible and learned from the Bible, I wanted to learn more about what was in the Bible. I wanted to learn the storyline of the Bible, of the scriptures we've been given about God. I was raised in a church, and they used a Bible, but it wasn't necessarily recommended for us to use. And the Bible we had was a monster Bible on our coffee table. It was a big family Bible. It was the biggest book I'd ever seen in my life. It was just so intimidating. So I never really got into it myself. So I was shown, here's a resource, some simple at the time. This is early 1980s, so some of you that were born after 1990 won't even understand the terminology. I was shown some film strips. Anybody understand what that is? Film strip? Some of us? Okay. But just, you know, simple little film strips that gave me a pictorial, visual, bird's eye view of what the Bible was all about. Absolutely impactful to me. Friends, it was a huge help for me to learn more about the God and Jesus who I was underinformed about. Wow. Simple little things like that. It could be somebody that's wanting to build their financial portfolio. We have what's called a Financial Peace University class we offer to the community. It could be as simple as the idea of introducing somebody else to someone that may be able to give them a little more guidance in some question or area of spirituality. It could be, we're looking at this idea of producing an Explore Christianity class for the community that's out there. It's an online web-assisted learning tool for anybody that wants to explore Christianity. Simple as that. So we have all kinds of resources today that we could go down and number, and we're going to be sharing and showing a lot of those to ourselves, because our mission, friends, is to make Jesus known to the growing number of people who are uninformed, underinformed, or misinformed about who Jesus is. And we're going to do that by equipping ourselves to invest in relationships in life-giving ways. And the life-giving ways is ourself equipped with the single greatest gift and resources that we can help to point people to that single greatest gift, Jesus. So this is some of what we're going to be trying to do as a branch church onto the future. I'm so glad that you're here and can be learning about some of these things with us and empowering yourself, equipping yourself in this incredible adventure that we have on this planet until Jesus comes again.